gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
Well, it's a Tuesday morning and that means one thing. We have Claire, the garden editor, with us today. Hi, Claire, all right?
Good morning, Dave. I'm very well, but apologies, my voice is a bit croaky and crackety, so I hope you can hear me and people on the line can hear me okay.
God, that was a busy weekend, then, wasn't it, if you've got a bit of a dodgy throat?
Well, I know, and my problem is I get very enthusiastic, and I was working at Hampton Court Flower Show this week, and it's wonderful. It's a really great experience to do, but you're serving people pretty much from 10 till 6:30 just talking about plants, and so I think my vocal cords aren't as, they're not really used to speaking for 8 hours straight, I have to say, so I'm still slightly recovering from just talking very geekily and very enthusiastically about plants, so that's why I'm a bit croaky, but I'm sure I'm going to get through it. I've got my water bottle here, and so I'm sure we'll last the session.
I'm sure we will. So today, I take it, we're talking about flowers then today?
We are. We've talked a lot about doing things in the garden, haven't we? We've talked a lot about how to buy and what to do and how to prepare things, but I thought it's midsummer, so I thought we'd talk a bit about how to continue to make your garden and your flowers in your garden look at their best throughout the summer season.
Okay.
So this is not about buying things, this is about doing things with the flowers in your garden. So we're going to talk a bit about roses, how to make sure your roses continue to look good. And we'll talk a bit about cutting back, which is a technique to make more flowers later on.
Yeah, because that's always worries me when you cut back. Do you cut, you know, is there certain places you need to cut the flowers, and do you cut different flowers in different places?
Well, as ever, it depends, doesn't it? Which is the annoying but realistic answer. So let's go through different types of cutting back. So okay. First thing to remember is if you have a flower which has come from a bulb, there is no point trying to cut it back to make that flower come again. Bulbs flower once a year, once a season.
Right.
So when we are dealing with bulbs like tulips and daffodils, we're normally getting rid of all the old tatty looking leaves once the bulb has got all the energy back into its bulb for next year. So with bulbs, there's no point trying to cut back and encourage fresh growth. So that's kind of the easy one out of the way. Then we come to things like geraniums and catmints, which are large growing ground cover type plants with lots of flowers. And typically geraniums can flower all the way through from spring until the first frosts. But around midsummer, they can look quite tatty and a bit messy and a bit overgrown. And so what we do with these is we cut them back really quite hard from end of June into July and cut them back to maybe 10-15 centimetres above the base. And you may be thinking, oh no, I'm losing all these plants and those flowers and this lovely green growth. But what that means is the plant will put on fresh growth, fresh flowers, and it will make it look a tidier, neater and more floriferous display for the second half of the summer. So it's a bit brutal. You have to be a bit brave and you have to think, oh gosh, am I going to do this? But it's really worth doing it because it means that you don't end up with spraying into the lawn and making it difficult to mow around and things like that.
Right. Okay. Right. I suppose when you come back, if you're going to be a bit brutal, you think, have I cut too much?
Yeah, but plants inherently like growing. So, you know, they're not going to completely have a hissy fit. So that this technique we would use on things like geraniums, so crane's bills, and nepetas, which are kind of a type of catmint, which have the long kind of long flowering plumes. And sometimes by this time of year, all the flowers have gone and they might have been a lovely blue colour. And by now they might be a bit brown and crispy. So if you cut them back really hard, you'll find that there's new growth already coming at the base of the stems within a matter of days because the light levels are so good. It's warm. It's been a bit wet as well recently. Can I just say that? I've been dodging the showers. There's one day I've been having to don all the sun cream again. And other days I've been there thinking, it's really warm, but I'm really quite damp now. But it's great for the plants. They will really, really respond well to this type of cutting back.
So when you cut back, is that going to be the same for, what about roses? I know we spoke about roses, back in February before Valentine's Day. What about when you cut back roses then?
Yeah. So for roses, what we don't need to cut back so hard at this time of year. With roses, what we like to do is something called deadheading. And deadheading is just taking off the old flowers. So once the flowers have started to look a bit tatty, all you do with your hands, you don't even need secateurs for this, but you might want to watch out for the old thorn or two. You just literally lift off the old flower bud. And that will mean that that will encourage fresh flowers to come. So that's a good technique to use on roses and other repeat flowering plants where you might have other buds further down the stem. What you do by taking off the top old flower, it encourages the flowers further on and elsewhere in the plant to spark into action. Right. So for roses, just a simple deadhead. You don't need to do the harsh cutback. That won't help it get into more flowers. Mm-hmm. So we're just taking off the old tatty looking bits and pieces, and it will tidy up the look, but also encourage fresh flowers.
Right. Okay. If you need a drink during the interview, please just take one. Don't be too conservative about not taking it.
I am going to take a drink. Sorry. Thank you, Dave.
That's absolutely fine. That's what I'd be doing there if I've got a dodgy throat. I'll tell you that. Yeah. So does your throat hurt, or does it just sound gravelly?
It doesn't hurt at all. And I do quite a bit of singing, so I'm no longer a soprano. I don't even think I'm an alto. I think I might be a tenor or a bass this week when I'm singing around. So yeah, it's a bit of a shock, but no, I'm sipping away. Thank you.
Right. Any more on cutting back flowers?
So the other thing to do is just remember all this material that you're cutting back, unless it's got any sign of disease or anything like that, you can just put it in a compost and it will compost down really, really quickly. And it will give a really nice nutritious feed back into your soil for next year. So you don't even need to take it away. Just fling it on there.
Right.
And when you are cutting back where we have sequential flowers going down the stem, you might want to cut nice and neatly at a kind of almost like a T-junction, where if you think about your middle flower in the middle has finished. You might have two little side arms coming out of it a bit further down. Just cut back to those side arms, and then those two flowers on the side will carry on flowering.
Right. And okay.
Yeah. And that's why we do things like that on sweet peas when we are, you know, snipping our sweet peas to harvest. That's exactly what we're doing. We're just taking off the top bit, and that means further down the plant, you will see more flowers coming.
Right. Okay. Well, this week has been Wimbledon. As you were,
yes.
Hasn't it?
Yes.
And we've had a bit of naff weather because it's Wimbledon week. Well, Wimbledon 2 weeks, because I think we very rarely get nice, hot, sunny weather while we have Wimbledon. Not for the whole 2 weeks. I think we did a couple of years ago, didn't we? But we always have a bit of rain, because we've had a bit of rain the last couple of days.
We have. We've had actually the official data from the Met Office confirming that June was the hottest June in the UK on record.
Wow.
And it was the hottest in England and in Wales and in Scotland and Northern Ireland. It was hot. And then what happens in July, we get these very sudden, very big, you know, massive, just huge dollops of rain, don't we? Not a gentle kind of overnight rain, but really, really going for it. And that is climate change. That is what living in a changing climate is going to look like and feel like. I mean, it's topping up our water supplies. We're still not in a hose pipe ban area around here, around Basingstoke, and like a lot of other areas. But yeah, it's Wimbledon. Now, question for you. Do you like singles or doubles matches best?
None.
It's not your thing.
Well, no, because I'm blind, it's just a bit of that's it, isn't it? It doesn't really do anything for me.
Did they do any voiced over narratives?
Well, you get the commentary, don't you? You know, like the punters, but you never know which one's serving unless you watch the whole match from start to finish. And then if you get sort of distracted, you forget who's serving when. But yes. No, I'm not into motor racing's my forte.
Oh, that's,
say my
oh,
forte. That's what I like. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
Weekend just gone. We had the Grand Prix, didn't we, Silverstone? So that was quite nice.
It's been all the sport. There's been the Ashes.
Yeah, that's right.
There's been Wimbledon, Formula One, and Tour de France cycling. There's just been all the sport, and the UK Athletics, I think, has been going on. So there's been all sorts of sports.
But more importantly, you've been at a flower show.
I have, haven't indeed. I have. That's partly why I can't speak anymore, because I've been chatting away. But before we get onto that, the reason why I was asking you about singles and doubles is because quite often we have single and double flowers. So sometimes a single flower is where there's just one rim of petals around the edge of a flower.
Yeah.
And then the doubles are where you get two or more layers of petals stacked on top of each other. And the interesting thing from a biodiversity point of view is single flowers are easier for pollinators to get in and get to the nectar and the pollen.
Is that because they're not so compact?
Exactly.
See, I've been learning stuff. I've been learning.
You totally have. So quite often older roses have single layers of flowers, whereas modern ones might well have lots and lots of flowers packed in. And that's not to say don't buy them, but just when we're thinking about what to put in your garden, it's good to have a variety of single and double flowering plants, so you're providing different nectar sources. Sorry, that was a distraction because we went
sport mode. Yeah, that was my fault.
That's all right, that's all right. Yeah, so I was working at Hampton Court Flower Show, which is up in London, for Hardy's, the garden nursery that is near Basingstoke that I work at. And I don't know if listeners are familiar with what happens at flower shows like Chelsea or Hampton Court, but they can be very, very busy. And I thought I would just give some insider intel on how to get
that's
the most
out of it. That's what we like. We like some inside information.
Some top tips.
Yeah.
So here are my top tips on how to get the best out of these type of
things. Okay, all right.
So first off, boringly, preparation is key. So a bit of planning like a military campaign goes down a long way. So making sure you know how you're going to get there, where you're going to get in, and how you're going to get home again is quite important. We had a lot of people struggling with traffic and bad transport at Hampton Court. So knowing how you're going to get in is a top tip. Sounds a bit basic, but it's surprising how many of us buy tickets and then only the night before think, oh, are we going to drive, or are we going to get the train, or how are we going to get there? So that comes to my next tip, which is it's a really good idea to get there early. The show gardens in these large flower shows get very, very busy very quickly. And if there are particular ones you want to spend some time looking at, knowing where they are in kind of a map or asking for assistance when you get to the entrance means that you can kind of get there before the crowd, before the other people who might be turning up and having a coffee and a bit of a mooch. So get into the things that you want to see first off.
Prioritise them.
Exactly. Yeah. You will not see everything. It's a bit like, you know, I don't know, going to IKEA or going to something like that. You can't take it all in.
Unless you follow the arrows in IKEA, you can normally find everything at that point.
Yeah, but by the fourth thing, you're not taking it in, are you? You're just following the herd.
It's amazing. You always come out with candles and serviettes, though.
There's always something. Or a vase. There's always something, or a random thing for the kitchen.
So before you go too far on this flower show, I suppose it's a bit like when you're going, like years ago, you used to have the motor show. It was just like, you know, there was just hordes and hordes of different, exhibits, gardens? I don't know.
Stands, yeah.
And I suppose you have to just prioritise which ones you want to see first, you know, and then I suppose after that, you just sort of bimble around the rest of the day, do you?
Exactly. So it's very similar to like going to any of these things. There's no point thinking you're going to complete it. You are absolutely not. Take water, take a map, take spare bags is also my other tip, because a lot of people, you might want to pick up something from one of the exhibits. You might want to pick up some plants, or there might be some garden ornaments. So that's also a nice way of breaking up the day. So making sure you go and see the big show gardens first off, and then after you've done that and kind of bathed your eyes in the beauty of that, then that's a good time to go and talk to the stands selling things, because by then you'll have your eye in, you think, oh, I really liked that plant, I saw it on there, do you have it? Or you might think, oh, well, I really want a bird bath or something else. And that means you're not carrying the plants around with you all day long. There are lots of show places will have what we call plant crèches, where you can stash. Yeah, so you can stash.
They look after your plants while you go and have a look around the rest of the show.
Indeed.
Oh, my God, I've heard it all.
Yeah.
A plant crèche.
A plant crèche, I know.
Excellent.
The first time I saw that, I thought, I can't quite believe this is a thing, but it is a thing.
Do they charge for that?
Mostly they don't, no. So it is, you know, it does depend on what it is that you're getting. But, you know, if you're buying something really large, you don't want to be hawking around. And that goes to my kind of next top tip, which is if you are buying a plant, think about how you're going to transport it home before you buy it. Yeah. Some of the plants can be really big, and you might find the nurseries have smaller versions or versions which aren't quite as in bloom yet. So that's quite a good top tip. Don't try and buy the one with all the flowers all out, because like when we're talking about going to the garden centre, someone else has had the benefit of all the flowers. So wait till there's things, see if you can get a plant which is not yet in bloom. Mm-hmm. But, you know, do think ahead. There's always a nice surprise where you think, oh, I've never seen that plant before. That's beautiful. I must have it. But you can always take photos and go on and do research and see what you can get online or more local to you.
Yeah.
Quite often that's a good way of thinking, well, I've got my inspiration, but there's no point coming home with seven different plants that you're going to have to kind of, work out where you want to shove them in. So going with a bit of a plan, a bit of a thinking, okay, well, I know I want to think of something for that bit of the garden or whatever, is a good way of going it. But still, be open to the inspiration, I would say. There's always inspiration we can get from looking at what real masters and mistresses of their arts can put together.
Yeah. Those some of them show gardens, they must be worth thousands.
They are. And actually it's quite,
and they must take hours to do.
Oh, days and days. So the build up will take a good week for something like Hampton Court.
Wow.
And then taking down and dismantling. The sustainability importance is really coming to the fore. So quite often a lot of these gardens won't be just discarded afterwards. Quite a lot of them will have been designed to then be transported to a location, to a charity, to a children's home, to a public area. So for example, at charity with a project Giving Back, all the large show gardens had a legacy of somewhere they were going to go afterwards.
Yeah, that's quite
so clever. That's quite important, because otherwise you think, what are we doing here? We're transporting shonk loads of plant and concrete and all sorts of hard landscaping which is built. And then where is it going after that?
Yeah, and I suppose if they can give it to a local charity for a nice sensory garden or just a nice community garden, I suppose they can just sort of, let's say, dismantle and rebuild it, and voila, there you go. It's a ready-made space, isn't it, really?
It is. You still need to do kind of a bit of preparation of the site it's going on to. Yeah. And, you know, that is something which, although Chelsea was in May, you know, the gardens from Chelsea will have been transported to their new homes, and they will still be bedding in. Still a lot of work to kind of make sure that they're going to be successful, particularly for charities. Quite often we see them in therapeutic spaces, cancer wards. Yeah. Naomi House, for example, I think has benefited from some in the past. But places where people really, you know, do need that hit of a beautiful space to help them through what they're going through. So you do want to make it a success and make sure that it's not just kind of a complete lift and shift. There is a bit of work which goes on behind the scenes. And we're increasingly seeing recycling. So one of the really impressive show gardens was a garden called The Renter's Retreat, which is designed for people who rent. And every single thing in the garden had been designed so that it would be able to fit through a letterbox from the flat pack. Yeah, so from the flat back raised beds to everything, and that it could all be dismantled. So if you're moving to another rented accommodation, you'd be able to take things with you. And I think we're seeing much more of that rather than some of these very, very ornate and very, 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 very large and expensive gardens. I think we're seeing a much more trend towards realism and making recycling what we've got.
Mm. What's the cost of getting into one of them gardens, the Hampton Court show? Do you know? Because obviously you wouldn't have paid because you was working there, but
off the top of my head, I don't know. To be honest, between you and me, it's a bit of a concern about how much some of the tickets are going, because then it's sending quite a signal as to who can afford to look at flowers and things like that.
Yeah.
What I would say is there are lots and lots of local gardens which do open garden schemes. Mm-hmm. So these are ones where someone might have a garden and they open it for charity, and it might cost £5 entrance.
Yeah, you can come and look in my garden for a fiver if you want it. I don't mind.
So that's a really good way of seeing what's happening in your local area for a fraction of the cost.
Yeah.
And you normally get to chat to the owners. There was one, I think, in Whitchurch, was it last week or the week before? Mm-hmm. About 10 people opened up their gardens, and it was a really nice event to raise money for the silk mill. So there's things like that. There's, I think, Alsford Show will have one as well. And I don't think shows like that, they'll have plants and flowers in the kind of the county show areas, and they won't be charging as much as these very large area, these large ones. Yeah. The other thing I would say, if you do go, take food with you as much as you can, because like all these shows, I suspect this is the same in motor racing, you know. Yeah. Quite often once you get in there, you're a bit of a captive audience, aren't you, for the burger?
Yeah, I think it's like any event though, isn't it, whether it's a community event, whether it's a fete or you know a summer show or whatever, you know, they tend to sort of hike the price up on your burger or whatever. Bottle of water for £2.50 or something, and it's the same bottle of water you would have bought, you know, a pack of eight from Lidl's for a quid or something. But you know, that's needs must, isn't it? Supply and demand.
Absolutely. So yeah, always go prepared. Always take the snacks. Take your water bottle. I always take a reusable coffee cup, because that means you can always kind of get access if you need a cup of tea or coffee. Making sure you've got the means and planning, say particularly planning for when you're tired coming back from these things and you might have stuff with you.
Yeah.
I always have the emergency snack packet right at the bottom of the bag.
So Hampton Court Flower Show, is that accessible for all disabilities, like wheelchairs and stuff like that?
It's one of the better ones, I have to say.
Yeah.
It's all on one level ground.
Oh, okay.
And it has rumbles kind of laid out over the grass areas. There are
temporary path roads things.
Exactly.
Temporary
path and roads things like that. And quite often you see assistance buggies going around and things like that. And also I saw some guide dogs actually in there as well, working with their owners. So that was quite good to see.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's quite tricky in those very crowded spaces for people to feel properly included. So I think there's probably more to be done, I think, both on accessibility and inclusion for gardening. But I think the will is there and the intention is there. But I shall keep a lookout. Thank you for reminding me.
Right. So when you go to these garden shows and you see, you know, these big show gardens, you might think, oh, that's really nice and I wouldn't mind that in my garden. But it hasn't got to cost a huge amount of money, is it, really? It can be done on a budget, can't it?
Absolutely, they can be done on a budget. And increasingly, say, with some of the gardens at Hampton Court, we were seeing things done on really small budgets. There was one actually which was deliberately designed for wildlife and for low cost. So designed with plants that you could all get from a local plant centre. So cheap and easy to grow and not expensive and not difficult to find plants. And a lot of what we can do as well is reuse what we've got. So making friends with other people who are gardeners nearby, you know, if you've got a seed swap or someone's lifting and dividing their plants and you can say, well, can I have a bit of that?
That's
a really good way of, one, building your community and, you know, building relations with your neighbours, but also keeping down the costs. Show gardens sometimes do look very high impact and they look very, very beautiful, but there's a lot you can do for a lot less with your money, which will still have a really, really good impact.
Maybe we can make that a feature towards the end of the season, you know, like a, you know, a budget garden of some sort. That might be quite good with some prices. That might be quite good. Well, time has caught up on us, really. So what's your bestest top tip for being at the flower show?
Be prepared and comfortable shoes, I think. Comfortable shoes. Be prepared, like going for any of these things, but also just enjoy it. It's a great day out. I mean, if you can't be happy around plants, you know, people are there for a good reason and for a good time. So it's easy to get caught up in the details of these things. But, you know, taking a step back and bathing your eyes in the beauty of what really skilled people have propagated and grown and are really proud to show. So go with a smile on your face and good trainers.
Right. And also what nature's given us, isn't it, really, as well?
Absolutely. A lot of these things are things that nature's given us, and we're just the custodians. We're the stewards, I think, of our gardens. We're not really the owners. We're not fully in control. That's a false idea. And what nature gives us, particularly when we deadhead and cut back, nature gives back even more.
Right. Well, thanks for that. We're not going to see you next week. We're going to see you the week after that. But if anyone has missed if you missed the feature we done 2 weeks ago, you can still download that from our website, which is all the W's, basingstokecommunityradio.org.uk, and click on the link that says the Garden Editor, and then that will take you direct to a download link where you can get that, where you can get this one as well after the show today. Right, as normal then, Claire, I need you to give us your request for today.
Well, my request, bearing in mind we've talked about all about flowers, I thought we will go route one, and this is something you can always do for yourself. Miley Cyrus flowers, because we can always buy ourselves flowers.
Absolutely perfect. Couldn't end in a better way. Thank you very much, Claire, and I will see you here, not next week, the week after.
See you soon.
And hopefully Bye-bye. Your throat will get better by then.
Absolutely.
Take care. All right.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much. Bye.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio.